Appreciate you being coming back for round two. How about that? You knew what you were getting into. I guess you didn't know this morning, but now you do, and you came back for round two. I appreciate that, and praise the Lord. We won't be screaming and jumping tonight. I don't know. I'm not going to guarantee, but we'll see what happens. I've seen preachers where they step on top of the pews and walk around, but these are chairs and they're not connected. So that wouldn't be a very, very long illustration there, that's for sure. But, amen, amen. Take your Bibles, Genesis chapter 50. Genesis chapter 50. Genesis, that's the very first book in your Bible. Chapter 50, that's the very last chapter of the very first book in the Bible. And we're going to be reading verses 22 through 26. And title of the message this evening is The Bones of Joseph. The Bones of Joseph. And we'll be talking about that this evening. But Genesis chapter 50, verses 22 through 26. Let's go ahead and have you guys speak for a little bit. All right, ready? Let's all say those verses together. Genesis 50, 22 through 26. Ready? Begin. And Joseph dwelt in Egypt, he and his father's house. And Joseph lived 110 years. And Joseph saw Ephraim's children unto the third generation. The children also of Machir, the son of Manasseh, were brought up upon Joseph's knees. And Joseph said unto his brethren, I die, and God will surely visit you, and bring you out of this land unto the land which he sware to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob. And Joseph took an oath of the children of Israel, saying, God will surely visit you, and ye shall carry my bones from thence. So Joseph died, being 110 years old, and they embalmed him, and he was put in a coffin in Egypt. And let's go ahead and pray. God, I thank you so much, Lord, for the truth that you've shown me. Lord, I ask that you please just help me as I try to give it out tonight, try to present it to the people. I don't want them to leave empty-handed, Lord. I want them to be able to take the things that you've shown me, and Lord, try to pass that on. I ask you please just give me wisdom. Help me to say what you once said. Leave out the things that would be unnecessary, and Lord, I just ask that you please just guide us now. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Now, I was bribed this morning with a cup of coffee and a chance at $10 if I got out 15 minutes early. So I didn't quite make the 15 minutes early, but I did get the coffee. So, and I think the coffee has had a lasting effect. Like, I'm feeling it rushing through my veins right now. But anyway, it has been a blessing. It's been a busy day, but it's been a good day in God's house. And we're thankful for that. But we're looking here, Genesis chapter 50. Verses 22 through 26. This is the story of the end of Joseph's life. Many of you know the story of Joseph. I don't need to get too much into that. But the story of Joseph, of course, he was one of the 12 children of Israel. Jacob, there we go. That's what I was looking for. And Jacob's one of his 12 sons, and he was sent away captive as a slave to Egypt. And then again, he went to Potiphar. Potiphar's wife, she tried to attack him, and she tried to commit adultery with him. But he fled the situation, got sent into prison, and he was in prison for a couple years. And then after that, he had the baker and the butler. The butler and the baker told him the dreams to Joseph. And then the butler survived, and he was able to serve the Pharaoh again. The baker died, but Joseph told them the dreams. And then right after that, the butler goes back to his post with Pharaoh. And then after several years, the Pharaoh has a dream. The butler has already forgotten about Joseph, but Pharaoh has a dream, and nobody's able to answer the dream. And so the butler then remembers, oh yeah, I've got that guy in prison that helped me to interpret my dream. Why don't we call him up? And then Joseph, of course, comes up and he interprets the dream of Pharaoh through the power of God. God helps him to interpret Pharaoh's dream, telling him that there'll be 7 years of plenty, then there'll be 7 years of famine. And he illustrated that with the kine, the cows, and then he illustrated that with the corn. And just showing the Pharaoh that, hey, you're going to have these years coming up that there'll be plenty. You'll have what you need and some, a good portion above and beyond what you need. to make up for the 7 years that are to come afterwards, where you won't have anything. The land will be, they'll be desolate. There'll be a famine that will come through, and you'll have to survive on what you supplied for in the past. And so Joseph was the one that told Pharaoh that, and Pharaoh said, well, who are we going to find that's got this kind of wisdom but this man named Joseph? Let's go ahead and have him be the ruler. And Joseph became the second in command and helped Egypt through this time of famine. Egypt had enough not only to provide for their needs during those 7 years of famine, but also to sell during those 7 years of famine. They gained lots of wealth during that time because the people around did not have any food. There was a famine. The Bible says throughout the whole earth. And so there were people coming from all over the place to get this food that Egypt had stored away. Joseph was very beneficial in keeping the land of Egypt alive. Not only the land of Egypt, but also the small early part of Israel. The Hebrew people, Jacob's kids. Jacob and his sons and his daughter and his sons-in-laws and daughter-in-laws, the whole group, the whole family was in Canaan. Then because of Joseph being able to provide them a land in Goshen, they left Canaan and went to Egypt. Now, that was not the place that was promised to the children of Israel. God took Abraham in Genesis chapter 13 and showed him the land of Canaan. He said, you know, wherever your foot touches, that is the land that I'm going to give to you. And he told him, you know, what the distance would be. And he said, that is the land that I'm promising to you. Now, the children of Israel were in Egypt at this time. That was not where God wanted them to be, but it was beneficial for them to continue. And we'll look at that here in just a second. But Joseph was used greatly in not only keeping his own people alive, but the children, the people of Egypt. Egypt would have been destroyed. They would have had this years of plenty. They would have spent it just like we all would in that situation. And we would have spent that money, and then here come the famine, and there would have been massive casualties. But because of the wisdom of Joseph, he was not able to save his own country, but also the country of Egypt that he stayed in. But this is interesting what Joseph does here. Verse number 22. Joseph dwelt in Egypt, he and his father's house, and Joseph lived 110 years. And Joseph saw Ephraim's children of the third generation. Verse number 24, and Joseph said unto his brethren, I die, and God will surely visit you, and bring you out of this land unto the land which he sware to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob. And Joseph took an oath of the children of Israel, saying, God will surely visit you, and ye, interesting thing what Joseph asked of them. Look at what he says, and ye shall carry up my bones from hence. Now, this is an interesting proposition. He's like, look, the Lord's going to send you out of Egypt. I'm not going to tell you when that's going to be because I don't know. But I do know the Lord is going to deliver us out of Egypt. When that happens, I want you to take my bones with you. Now, that's a little odd. Reason being is because if you look at verse number 13 of the same chapter, they had just left. I don't know when the time frame was, but verse number 13 says, for his sons carried him into the land of Canaan and buried him, talking about Jacob, in the cave of the field of Machpelah, Abraham brought with the field of a possession, of the burying place of Ephron the Hittite before Mamre. All right, I knew I had these words in here. I was just going to read the first portion, and I kept reading, but all right. But here's the thing, what happened? They had gotten permission from the Pharaoh to leave and bury their own father. So why would Joseph, being the second command, being the hero, like everybody looked to Joseph, he helped keep them alive, he kept Egypt going. And why couldn't Joseph have just said, look, I want you to go ahead and bury me in Canaan. Go ahead, y'all, I'm about to die here, y'all, just embalm me, get me in that coffin, and take me over to Canaan and bury me there. But Joseph did not do that. It's very interesting. But he does tell them this. He says, listen, one day you are going to leave this place. One day, Egypt is not your final destination. It's not where God wants us to be. God wants us to be in the land of Canaan, in the promised land. But here's the thing, kind of the illustration of this, is the children of Israel did not even know why Joseph just didn't have his body buried. They didn't know, they had some questions, I'm sure, that were floating through their mind. It's like, why do we have to go bury your bones? Why can't we just do it right now? Why can't we go bury you? You know, I'm sure Manasseh and Ephraim were like, all right, Dad, you're getting a little loopy here. It's okay. We'll go ahead and just take care of you. But no, Joseph's command before he died was, I want you to take my bones with you when you leave out of Egypt. He had buried his own father, but he wanted that command to take place where once they left Egypt, they were going to take his bones with them. So a couple of questions that the children of Israel had. They didn't know why, of course, why they had to carry these bones in the first place. The second question that they had is the children of Israel that carried away Joseph's bones did not know how long that they were going to carry them. I would imagine because Joseph died, and you know, the children, the Egyptians probably had some kind of an honor for him. He may have had a little shrine or something memorial about Joseph and the life of Joseph. We see that throughout Egyptian history. And so I don't know if there was a shrine and maybe there was something where Joseph's bones were kept, but that was not the final place. So once the children of Israel do get the bones and they do leave out of Egypt, they don't know how long that they're going to carry these bones. They don't know when this is going to end. They don't know when they're going to make it to Canaan. At that point, it had been it would be from the time he died to the time they left. It's a little over 300 years that took place. They didn't know how long they were to keep up with these bones, but the promise was still the same. Once you leave out of Egypt, I want you to take my bones with me. And then another question that they may have is, you know, who is this Joseph guy? You know, the children of Israel that did, the generation that took Joseph out of Egypt, didn't even personally meet him. That would be like George Washington saying, all right, I want Grace Baptist Church to take my bones and bury them over in this little field over here. All right, I've never met George Washington. I've heard about him. I've read some things about him, but I've never personally met him. Why would he have me do it? You know what I'm saying? These are the questions that the children of Israel had. But you know, these are the same questions that I've actually had for the last couple of weeks here. Let me show you. Uh-oh. All right. This is an urn, okay? I just want everybody to know that. I'm not being disrespectful. The funeral for Dr. Dobbins, he was a dentist in Shepherdstown, took place in January the 3rd, okay? I think January 3rd or 4th. I still have Dr. Dobbins here with me today. I do not know why. I do not understand. I never personally, and I'm trying to relate this to the children of Israel here, but I never personally even met Dr. Dobbins. I only saw pictures of him. That week that his funeral was taking place, preacher was sick. He had this double ear infection, and he told me that a couple of days before, he's like, look, I'm not going to make it. Here's my outline. Bye. And I never met the lady. I never met his wife. I never met the family. I never knew anything about him. But I had been given the task to give the funeral. And so I gave the funeral. After the funeral, the wife, she was shook up, which, you know, I'm not belittling that or making light of that. And so she said, look, I don't want to take the urn right now. We'll do something in April. It's May now. Nothing happened. But we'll do something in April. And can you just hold on to him for the meantime? Okay, all right. And so that was in January. It's May, almost June, almost a good 5 months later. And I still have, 6 months later, I still have these ashes that have been sitting in my desk. When I go to do PE, I have to open up my little drawer. And just behind the ashes, there's where my PE clothes sit at. But here's the same questions that I've had that the children of Israel had. I never met this man personally. I never knew much about him. I knew that he was a Christian man. He was a godly man, but I never knew him personally. I don't even know how long that I'm going to carry these ashes along. We're approaching 6 months now. I don't know when this is going to end, but I will let you know, I've been given a task to hold on to these, and I'm going to hold on to them until the job is finished. Here, I want to relate this to us, the children of Israel. They were given this job by Joseph. They didn't know how long it was going to be. They didn't personally know Joseph. They had only heard about him. But yet they were given a task to take his bones into the land of Canaan. I want us to look, and I want us to represent this. The bones themselves, they represented two things for the children of Israel. I want us to remember this. It represented God's past provision. Joseph was the one, of course, that kept Egypt alive, kept the children of Israel alive. So when they looked at those bones, it showed them, the children of Israel, whoever looked at those bones, it showed them the past provision of God. It showed them that God was able to take them in a dire situation. They were without food. There was no food in the land. And God still provided for them. God still was able to give them provision. It also showed them another thing, God's future redemption. Look at verse number 24. And Joseph said unto his brethren, I die, and God will surely visit you and bring you out of this land unto the land which he sware to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob. There was a promise that was associated with these bones. Yes, there was a reminder of God's provision, but then there was also a promise of God's future, a future plan for them, God's future redemption for the children of Israel. We personally today do not have bones of some famous person or some father of the faith that we carry around. But God has given us something as a child of God that is very similar to what the children of Israel had. We have been given the Bible. The Bible for us is a reminder of what God has done in the past. God, it is a reminder of the past victories that we have had, the past victories that Christians have had, a reminder of the things that God has provided, a small remnant throughout all of history God has provided through the Bible we can read about. Also, through the Bible, we can see a future redemption. This world is not my home, I'm just passing through. One day I will open my eyes up in heaven. And when I read the Bible, when I get to look at the Bible, two things should come to my mind. Yes, the provision of God in the past, but also the redemption that is in the future. God has given us not bones to carry around, but God has given us His Word to carry around as a Christian. Let's look at some things here with the Word of God. I do not know how long that I'm going to be preaching from the Bible. I don't know when I'm going to die. That's what I mean. Not that I'm giving it up here, but I do not know how long. I may live till I'm 56. I may live till I'm 112. I have no idea. But what I do know is that God has commanded me to take the Word of God and to hold fast the things that I've been taught. Amen. To hold fast the traditions, the doctrines of the faith that are in the Word of God. That is what God has commanded me to do. So I don't know how long. But here's the thing. I don't even know I've never met God. Personally, I've never met the Paul. I've never met Matthew. I've never met Jeremiah. I've never met David. But these men live on in these memories that I get to carry around with me, that you get to carry around as a Christian. I want us to see this. We do not know how long it has been and how long we will have to continue to carry on the Word of God. But one day, God is going to call us home. And that, for me personally, will be the time where I will pass down the Bible to the next generation. But you know, one day, praise the Lord, hopefully soon, seems like it'll be soon, the Lord's going to come back in the rapture. And then I'd want to be a part of that generation that said, God, we've been given the Word of God. It has been passed down to us, and we have held fast the faith, and we are passing it down to you. To imagine giving that to Jesus Christ. You've given this to us. You've showed us what we need. You've given us the Bible to hold on to read, to love. And Jesus, we're giving it back to you. That's the ultimate job, the ultimate completion of the job that we have. Yet, just like the children of Israel with Joseph's bone, I'm planning on doing my part to carry God's Word until the day that I die. I'm planning on doing my part to carry God's Word until God calls me home or we go home in the rapture. I'm not sure what it'll be, but I'm gonna determine to carry God's Word. Let's look, the Word of God for a Christian. Again, it represents God's past provision. Jesus Christ was our providential sacrifice to save our nasty, sorry souls from the penalty of sin and death. And in the future redemption that we have through Jesus, again, nothing that we've done, nothing that we've been merited this because of how good of a Christian or how good of a person we are. This is given as a future, the Bible's given to us as a future means of redemption for our life. I can read the Bible and see what God is going to do in the future. So what is that for us? Let's look at tonight how we are to carry the Word of God. How we are to carry the Word of God just like the children of Israel carried those bones of Joseph so many years ago. Let's look at number one here. Take your Bible, turn to Exodus chapter 1 and verse number 8. How are we to carry the Word of God just exactly like the children of Israel carried these bones of Joseph? Exodus chapter 1 verse number 8. The Bible says this. Now there arose up a new king over Egypt, which knew not Joseph. Now, we know the story, of course. The children of Israel, I don't know exactly the stretch, it's over 300 years had passed. And this new king, this new Pharaoh of Egypt has risen up, and he did not remember the Joseph of the past. He did not know what was the purpose of Joseph. What was the purpose of these bones? Now, here's the thing for us. We are to carry these bones just like the children of Israel just like the children of Israel carried those bones, whether the world around us remembers them or not. Here's the thing. The children of Israel were saved. The land of Egypt was saved by the diligence of Joseph being used by God. This word of God has established the country that we live in. Yes, sir. Yet America today, yet the world today has forgotten the contributions of God's word. They like to accredit it to themselves. It was our knowledge. It was our understanding of how things should work. No, most of the Constitution, most of the writing of those ancient texts that we have came from scriptures, came from men of God standing up in the pulpit preaching. That is where it came from. It was based on the word of God. The first book that was printed for school use here in America was the Atkins Bible. That is a heritage that America should hold on to. We tried to get it from England. They wouldn't give it to us. So it was commissioned by America. There we go. To be able to print the Word of God. And that's where the Atkins Bible came into play. We printed the Word of God. Why? Because we knew of its importance in our children. We knew of its importance. It was the textbook for the early American schoolhouse. But yet we have forgotten about God. We have forgotten about the contributions that the Bible has made. When are we supposed to carry God's word? When are we supposed to carry these bones? Whether the world remembers them or not. Remember, these children of Israel were saved because of Joseph. The land of Egypt was saved. But yet Egypt, time passed and people forgot. People forgot about that contribution that Joseph made. And they just kind of, we did that. That was the things that we did. And we talked about it this morning, but you know, I'd love a Memorial Day because we stand on the shoulders of great men and women of the past. I don't have what I went into my truck, and after a couple tries, I eventually started that thing. You know, that I didn't have to know the engineering behind that. I didn't have to sacrifice, to pay for those things. Here's the thing: we have things all given to us. And that comes because of a foundation that we had in the Word of God. The children of Israel lived in the land of Egypt. It was in the land of Goshen specifically. It was a green place. It was a beautiful place in Egypt. But they didn't do anything for that. That was the contributions of Joseph. We didn't do anything personally for the America that we live in. That was contributions of those in the past, the contributions of the Word of God. When I left college, we finished college in 2016. We were at Commonwealth Baptist College. I finished. I did finish, and we did pass. We walked. I got my diploma. My brother was still in college, and he was a couple years behind me. And so I graduated. We moved on. We were in Tennessee for a couple years, and then my brother was graduating. So he called me back up to go watch him walk. And he walked all the time growing up. I don't know what was the purpose, but when we came back up there, it only been 2 years. But when we came back up there to the college, nobody knew who I was. They're like, "You look familiar. Are you Matthew's brother?" I was like, "I was here. I gave my blood, sweat, and tears." And, you know, even people on the old bus route that we were on didn't even know who I was. And man, I know, I was like, "Good night." You know, I remember those times. I remember the picnic. I remember all the hard work we put into it. But it's so easy to forget about the things that have happened before us. And we have to serve God. We are to take the Word of God, whether the world around us remembers it or not, whether it makes sense or not, whether I feel it's my responsibility or not, whether I enjoy it or not, I am to carry the Word of God with me wherever I go. I'm to carry this Word of God until my time here on earth is over. So number one, don't forget about these bones. Don't forget about the Word of God. And then number two, use this Word of God, use these bones, just like the children of Israel use the bones, use the Word of God as a reminder through your life. Use it as a reminder. Take your Bibles, turn to Exodus chapter 13. Exodus chapter 13 and verse number 17. Exodus chapter 13, verse number 17, the Bible says this: "And it came to pass, when Pharaoh had let the people go, that God led them through the way of the land of the Philistines, although that was near. For God said, lest peradventure the people repent when they see war, and they return to Egypt. But God led the people about through the way of the wilderness of the Red Sea, and the children of Israel went up harnessed out of the land of Egypt. And Moses took the bones of Joseph with him. For he had straitly sworn the children of Israel, saying, God will surely visit you, and ye shall carry up my bones away hence with you. Here's the thing, not only are we to carry this word of God, not only did the children of Israel carry those bones when the people around them, the world around them forgot about them, they carried these bones through their life. The children of Israel left Egypt and they carried Joseph's bones with them. They carried those bones through the hard times. They carried these bones through times of difficulty where they didn't have food or water in the wilderness, when they were having wars with enemies around them. You know, God tells us that we are to carry His Word of God even in times of difficulty. The Bible says that casting, in 1 Peter 5:7, casting all your care upon Him, for He careth for you. Now, if I don't read the Bible, if I don't know God's Word, I'll never know that God is ready and available for me to cast my care upon Him. In times of difficulty, we talked about it on Wednesday, but out of the depths of life, I can call out to God. In those times of difficulty, we can carry the Word of God. The Bible tells us in Psalms 119:105, Thy Word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. We are not to just carry our Bibles on Sunday morning and that's it. We're not to carry our Bibles just around when we're trying to hit our kids for not getting ready for church. We are to carry our Bibles everywhere. We are to carry the Word of God wherever we go. Just like the children of Israel carried those bones, we've been given the Bible to carry around with us as a constant reminder that God has already taken care of us. Again, it's a constant reminder of the provision of God and the future redemption that God has for His people and that He has for us. The children of God, we are to carry the Bible through times of difficulty. Then also through times of trial. The Bible says, My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. But let patience have her perfect work, that you may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. When the children of Israel, when they were getting water from the rock, when they were faced with the Red Sea, when they were faced and being chased by the Egyptian, this times of trials in the children of Israel, they had these bones that they carried with them. We have the Word of God when trials come. Now, trials and temptations are a little bit different. A trial can come through God. God doesn't tempt us. But there are trials that come through God. God will say, hey, there are some areas, just like a gold goes through a refining process. We are to go through a refining process in our lives so that we are more usable, being more like what God wants us to be. The old whittler, used to, you know, they sit on the porch and they would whittle away on sticks, right? Well, this man was given a boot by one of those men and he said, how did you carve a boot out of a stick? And the man said, well, I just started carving away anything that didn't look like a boot. And man, that's the same thing what God does for us. Man, those things in our life that shouldn't be there. Those things in our life that maybe not bad, but they just shouldn't be there. God starts carving those things away. We have times of trials in our life. And those times are to use, we're to use those to grow in the Lord. So yes, the children of Israel carried these bones, just like we carry the Bible through times of difficulty, through times of trials, through times of backsliding. The children of Israel, as soon as they got across the Red Sea, wasn't too long before Moses was up on the mountain getting the commandments of God. And what were the children of Israel doing? They were down there having a prayer service. And Aaron's fault. And he said, look, I just cast the gold in the fire and this golden calf came out. That's exactly what Aaron said. Wasn't true, all right? But here's the thing. They started to backslide. But you know what they still had in their possession? They still had those bones. You know, we will come to some times, we're human beings, we're sinners. You will come through some times that you slide back a little bit. What does that mean? It's different for everybody. Your backsliding doesn't look like my backsliding. But my backsliding, we backslide when we are not the same what we used to be the day before. We have ourselves. I don't compare myself to Brother Myers. I don't compare myself to Brother Wiley or anything like that. I compare myself to what I was yesterday. Am I going forward in Christ or am I sliding back? That's pretty simple. That's the way it is. But in those times of backsliding, God still is there. God has given us the Word of God to help us through those times of backsliding. The Bible says if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. That's the Word of God. The Word of God is to help us through those times of backsliding. Then those times of confusion. The children of Israel were there waiting for Moses while he was up on the mountain getting the commandments. And they didn't really know what to do. God wanted to speak to the people audibly, but they were like, whoa, hold on, that's a little bit too much. Moses, you go ahead and talk to him, and we'll wait here. And there was a time of, they didn't know how long it was going to be, but then they had this time of confusion. They didn't understand what they were supposed to do. They knew if they touched that mountain, they would die. So, all right, we stay away from the mountain, but everything else, there was a confusion that was there. And God says the same thing for the word of God. He says, be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the heathen. I will be exalted in the earth. What times we are confused, what times things aren't just are lining up, it's usually because we're not reading the word of God. And God gives us wisdom to keep going. God gives us wisdom in times of confusion. The children of Israel carried these bones through times of mourning. They lost both Moses and Aaron, the children of Israel did. Then they had new leaders that came up, Joshua, and Caleb was one of those leaders as well. And they were coming into the Canaan land. They were coming into the promised land. There were times of mourning. There was thousands upon thousands that were dead just because they said, well, you're Moses. What's so special about you? We could talk to God ourselves. And God opened up the earth, and man, there was a ton of people that fell into that. Then there were other times where they tried to go against God's man. And guess what happened? There were death. There was times of mourning. The Bible says, blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. God's word, again, shows me of God's past provision, but also shows me of a future redemption. The children of Israel could just look at those bones, just like we get to look at the word of God as needed, as a reminder of God's provision and God's plan for our life. We were driving here to church. We weren't walking, but we were driving here to church tonight. And there was a man, he was probably in his early 20s. And he had the cell phone out, you know, he had the earbuds in, and there was no direction that you could see. His eyes were as empty as could be. And it's like, you know, we have been given the Bible, so we are not like that. We are not confused and lost in this world. We have been given the Bible to help us continue. The children of Israel, they were in the wilderness going, man, how long are we going to be in here? You know, how long are we going to walk through this wilderness? How long are we going to have to carry these bones? But if they only knew, if they just looked to those bones, it would remind them that God is not done with them. God still has a plan. Those bones were taken out of Egypt so that to remind them of God's past provision and to remind them that God has a plan for their life. The children of Israel did not use those bones as a reminder. That is why they had to go through the wilderness. They were lined up there. They were ready to go in. A couple months in to traveling out of Egypt, they were at the promised land, ready to go in. But yet they forgot God's provision. They forgot what they had taken the bones for was that God was going to redeem them to this land. But they forgot about those things. And because of that, they committed sin. They said, whoa, Moses, I don't know if we could do this. Those are some pretty big guys over there. We're not going to be able to handle this. And because of their lack of faith and what Joseph had said long ago, hey, God is going to redeem you. You're going to be placed back into the land of Canaan. Because they didn't have faith in that, because they didn't look to those bones as a reminder, guess what? They had to go through the wilderness for 40 years. And I fear sometimes for us as Christians, we get in that same boat. You know, God has something He's told us specifically. He's like, look, I want you to do this. There's some things that are in the Bible that we don't follow, unfortunately, as often as we should. You know, God tells us that He wants us to read His Word. God tells us that He wants us to live a Christian life and to tell others about Jesus Christ, just to name a few things. And when we go up, and I'm the same way, I get to it where I've got a track in my hand, and I see somebody I'm supposed to talk to, that God has lined it out, and I have a track, and I'm ready to do it, but man, I get scared. And I'm like, well, God, I don't know. You know, I'm sure someone else will give them a track. And I lose faith in God saying, hey, I've brought them across your path for a reason. And God, we have to remember, use the word of God as a reminder of what God has done for you. Remind you where you came from, what God has brought you from to bring you to a redemption that's in the future. God has a plan for us. So again, when do we take these bones? When do we take the word of God? When people around us forget? When we use them as a reminder throughout our life? How do we view God's word? Is it a drudgery? Is it something that's a duty that we have to do? I've got my little reading plan, and I'm going to get up and I got to read 3 chapters today. Or do we look at God's word with delight? I'm not going to stand here and say that every day when I wake up, it's like, woo, all right, skippity-doo-da, skippity-day. I get to read God's word today. It's not always like that. But you know what? I try to keep it like that as much as possible. When I know when I get into God's word, it's like, okay, all right. And so-and-so begat so-and-so, and I start falling asleep. I'm like, Lord, I'm sorry. You gave me your word for a reason. This word has done so much for my life. It's given me direction for my life. It's helped me through times of darkness. It's given me a purpose. It's given me the future that you have for me. God, I'm sorry. And I remember what God's done and what God has for me. And then there is a delight that comes there. When I was going here to the church, before we started the school for this last year, a preacher sent me through some ACE training. That's the Accelerated Christian Education training. And so I went there, and they have this thing called the Procedures Manual. Now, it is a big, long book, and it, as you know, you've been in work, and they've got the Procedures Manual. I'm sure people just love looking through that and just enjoying reading the pages of that. But it was just like that, all right? It had some colored pictures, so that kind of kept my attention a little bit. But for the most part, it was just a bunch of words. And man, while we were there in the class, they had us do these bookworks where we had to look through the book, and you're looking, you know, you're trying to scan through to find a word that matches, and then you write that word down. And I didn't really take it seriously. It really wasn't that big of a deal. It's like, look, I gotta be here. You know, I'm okay. I can get it figured out. But as soon as we had the school and the school started, man, all right, what am I supposed to do for chapel? What am I supposed to do when a student does this? What am I supposed to do when this happens? What am I supposed to do when that happens? And man, I was using that procedures manual. I have grown to love that procedures manual. Why? Because it is a guide to help me through my life. That's the same thing with the Word of God. God has given us a guide. I love, there's an acronym for the Bible. It's Basic Instructions Before Leaving Earth. And God didn't say that, but that's what it is though. It's instructions for us to say, hey, this is the life I've been given. God knows my life. God knows what I'm facing. And God is able to use that to instruct us, to keep us, close to His word. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. So number one, don't forget about God's word. Don't forget about, the past provision and the future plan that God has. And then use that as a reminder through your life. And then lastly, finish the job. Finish the job. Take your Bible, Joshua chapter 24. Let's read this quickly. Joshua chapter 24 and verse number 31 and 32. Let's look at that. We're not only to carry the word of God through our life, but we are to finish the job to which we've been called. The Bible says in Joshua 24, verse number 31, "In Israel served the Lord all the days of Joshua, and all the days of the elders that outlived Joshua, and which had known the works of the Lord that he had done for Israel." Verse number 32, "And the bones of Joseph, which the children of Israel brought up from out of Egypt, buried there in Shechem, in a parcel of ground which Jacob bought for the sons of Hamor, the father of Shechem, for 100 pieces of silver, and it became an inheritance of the children of Joseph." We need to complete the job. We've already mentioned it a couple times here. But the generation is kind of interesting. The generation that knew Joseph was not the generation that buried Joseph's bones. The generation that left out of Egypt and carried those bones out of Egypt was not the same generation that buried Joseph's bones. It was several generations later that came into the promised land. After the wilderness, they came to the promised land. And it wasn't right as soon as they got in the promised land. They went through and they conquered the promised land. And as soon as Joshua dies and the elders that were with him die, the thing that they do is they finish the job that was given as a command to them so many hundreds of years beforehand. And that was to bury those bones. We as children of God have a command from God. The Bible says in 2 Timothy 2:2, "And the things which thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also." I don't know if I'm going to be in the generation that God comes back in the rapture. I don't know that for sure. I'm hoping that's the case. But here's the thing. I'm supposed to carry God's word, whether he comes in my lifetime or he comes 400 years from now. I'm supposed to carry the same commandment for me is that I'm to carry God's word as long as I am alive. We've been given a charge by Christ to pass down this word of God until we die or Jesus takes us home. Don't let the gospel die in your generation. We have a job to do. Again, we don't know how long we have here on earth. We could die tomorrow. We could die in a couple of years. Who knows how long we have here on earth? But I want my life to be a life that God can count as faithful. God says, I've given them, this generation, the Bible. What are they going to do with it? I don't want this generation to be the last generation that has the Bible. The last generation that remembers about God. I want to stand. I want to preach. I want to give out the gospel. I want to share and teach others also that God is still alive and He's given us this Bible. And I want to do my part until the day that I die. Deuteronomy 6, we don't have time to get to it, but tells us when we're supposed to teach. We're supposed to teach when we're lying down, we're rising up. We're supposed to talk about the Word of God as we go about our business. We are to constantly be talking about the Word of God. We do not understand all the details of why or how, but one thing is for sure. We have to keep the Word of God from being forgotten and left behind. I wonder if we were given the same charge, and we have been with the Bible. But are we going to let this die in our generation? Are we going to say, well, that was good for the past generation. That was good for those a couple hundred years ago. No, it's good for me today. And I'm going to carry this Word of God to the day that I die. Let that be your challenge. When God calls us home, man, the sweetest words that He could say is, well done, thou good and faithful servant. He didn't say the best looking. Praise the Lord for that. He didn't say the smartest. He said faithful. Everybody can be faithful. You can be faithful to the Word of God. What does that look like? That looks like reading your Word, reading God's Word. That looks like memorizing Scripture. That when somebody is talking to you at work, man, try to squeeze Jesus as much as possible into that conversation. I love it when I was in college, and then even now some. But when I was with my college buddies, man, we were trying as best we can. We're talking to this lady at the cash register, and we're trying to fit in. Unless she was pretty, then we were getting a number. But we were trying to fit in Jesus Christ as much as possible, and that's what we should do with our daily life. What happened to the people that had Bible knowledge? Well, it died off because people forgot about God's Word. And that is our job. It's our duty to continue on until God calls us home, to finish the job we've been called to. We have been given a charge to take the memory of someone we've never met to a place we've never been, through a life that we've never gone through. But God still has the same charge for us today. God has given us the Word of God that we are to take continually. Let's go ahead and pray. Lord, I thank You so much for the Word of God. I thank You, Lord, for the illustration, Lord, that the children of Israel, they went through all of those things with those bones of Joseph. Lord, if they can carry some old, nasty, dried out bones through their life, if they can complete the job of burying some old, nasty, rotten bones, Lord, I can complete my job of taking the Word of God until the day I die, to pass it down to the next generation, to not forget about the commandments of God, to not neglect what You've shown and proven to us. Lord, help us to be faithful. Help us to continue to carry this Word of God.